On this week's episode, we talk about more updates coming to Google Meet, some practical tips for relearning and reassessing, EDGE protocols from Gold.edu, finding hope in a hopeless time, being the best dad or teacher you can be, and how to be a difference maker at work.
Welcome to 6 Tips and Tricks from the TOSA, a bi-weekly podcast meant to give you ideas, techniques, and strategies for the intentional use of technology in the classroom. And now here's my dad, Mike Brella.
Confucius once said, "He who learns but does not think is lost. He who thinks but does not learn is in great danger." Love it. Think about what you're doing in your classes and how you can get your students to not only learn material and content, but to think about what they've learned, to reflect on what they've learned. And I hope some of these ideas that I've been giving you or I give you or that I'll give you in today's episode help you to think about your own teaching, help you to think about and reflect on and learn from things that you do. Because again, we don't really learn by doing, we learn by thinking about what we do. So hopefully this week, what's been inspiring me is thinking. I've been reading a book, The Obstacle is the Way by Ryan Holiday, and just thinking about overcoming challenges and how those challenges can be important for us, right? So he who learns but does not think is lost, but he who thinks but does not learn is in great danger. So hopefully we're doing both this week. Hopefully you enjoy this episode. I have some good tips for you, and sit back, relax, and enjoy. My first tip of the week comes from the incomparable Eric Kurtz and his Control Alt Achieve blog. And what else would you expect but an update about Google Meet? Right? Google has done a phenomenal job at listening to and responding to the wants, desires, and requests of educators. And they're fixing some of the big issues they've had on Google Meet. So this first tip is new Google Meet layout coming in May 2021 by Eric Kurtz. And the link is a link to his blog post, which has some great written descriptions, but also includes a 5-minute video. Some of the highlights, the two big takeaways here, the things that excite me the most about this new Google Meet layout is one, the toolbar will all be in one place across the bottom of the screen now. And it's a little more user-friendly, and just the aesthetics are a little nicer. And then the second one is new screen sharing view. Eric does a great job of explaining the new change where, if you remember, when you're sharing part of your screen, there's this monstrous block in the middle of your Google Meet where you really it's wasted space because you don't see students, you don't really see what you're presenting. So there's a couple different things now, new options coming to change your view when you're sharing part of your screen. These new updates are coming out to rapid release domains, which O&J Roberts is one of those, starting May 3rd, could take up to 15 days to get it afterwards. And then for scheduled release dates, they're being started on May 17th. So check out the new Google Meet layout coming in May 2021 by Eric Kurtz. Tip number 2 is 10 really practical tips in one, and it comes from the godfather of second chance learning, and that's Rick Wormele, and it's relearning and reassessing practical tips. And Wormele starts a little bit of this article, this post, which I think is from the AMLE site, with a little bit of why relearning and reassessing is so helpful. But hopefully by this point, you're past the why you should be doing it. It's one of the most valuable things you can do. And he gives you 10 practical tips to save your lives, to save your time when doing reassessing and relearning. So I'm going to just list these 10 things he gives you. Just know that he goes into great detail as to why each of these tips is so effective and how to use them. So the first thing is timely feedback is key. His tip number 2 is to start small. 3 is teacher discretion. You do this at the teacher discretion, not the parent or student discretion. That's something that's a big hurdle that I hear a lot of teachers do. Like, what, I'm just going to let kids redo whatever they want? No, that's not it. It's up to your discretion. 4 thing, students should submit a thoughtful plan for reassessing. I love that one. That's something I took from him a few years ago, and I actually got to do a phone interview with him and a group of teachers at my school, and that's what we were talking quite a bit about. The 5th thing, students should include, when possible, a letter that explains their new process and the changes they made. So that's intentional. The 6th thing, alternative assessment versions should be possible. factor. You can do, it's up to you. You can use alternative assessment versions. Seventh one, I love this one for those of you who are big test. I am not a big test giver, but I know there's that places other subjects have great needs for tests. And he talks about using sections in your exams and tests so that if a student really scores really well on one section, just let them redo a specific section. Great. The eighth tip, grade changes are key for after marking periods, right? Marking periods, I think by now you've probably heard me or somebody else, a lot of people talk about how marking periods are almost antiquated. And they are, right? Why does it matter when the kid shows mastery? Oh, you know, this arbitrary date of November 3rd was passed, so now they can't master this skill anymore. That's kind of asinine if you ask me. So, you know, make a grade change. There's nothing against that. Identify a deadline for reassessment before grades are permanent for number nine. That's good. That will save your sanity. And that's something I did not do. And I will do when I go back to the classroom, because I can remember, like, you know, a student at the last week of the quarter saying, like, hey, can I redo this one from week one? What good does that do anybody, really? And then the 10th one is be careful with credit recovery programs, where he's talking about like totally changing the assessment or giving like half credits. And this is just a phenomenal read. It's not a light read. It's pretty dense and it's going to take you some time to work through, but it is something that I really, truly believe you should check out. So check out Relearning and Reassessing, Practical Tips from Rick Wormelli. I love Wakelet. I love templates. And I love Edge of Protocols. And my tip number three combines all of these into one place. And it's a vast array of Edge of Protocols in one place. And it's a Wakelet created by Gold EDU, which is a new educational consulting firm headed by Stephanie Howell. And it's a great resource. So this specific link takes you to a whole huge library, really, of videos and resources that Stephanie and a couple of her colleagues created to help you better understand and implement some great Edge of Protocols. And if you're not familiar with Edge of Protocols, they're lesson plan templates, for a lack of a better term, that you can do over and over and over again that are not married to specific content or class areas. So using an Edge of Protocol, the power in them is that your students become familiar with the process, you become familiar with the process, and it saves you time in the end in planning. So this huge Wakelet has a whole ton of great resources, includes information about some of my favorites, some new ones, you know, digital class book, Book Akucha, Tech Coach, the Freyer Model, Game of Quotes, a whole ton of resources to help you implement Edge of Protocols in your classroom. So check it out. Edge of Protocols are as good as gold from Gold EDU. Tip number four is a phenomenal resource for you to check out. And it's an article from Edutopia by Nora Fleming. And it was originally posted on March 26th of 2021. And it's called In Schools, Finding Hope at a Hopeless Time. And I'm just going to read a chunk of her introduction here for you. And it says, so what can educators do to instill hope in students, especially when many feel hopeless themselves? Research shows that hope is a learnable, measurable skill, and one that has a sizable impact on student success and persistence in school. Children who are hopeful are also found to have higher self-esteem and social skills, are more likely to set and achieve goals, and can more easily bounce back from adversity. What more can you hope for, right? From a teacher, from your students, as a parent, if my child, my boys have a high self-esteem, high social skills, more likely to set and achieve goals and easily bounce back from adversity. That's phenomenal, right? And it's easy to get lost right now and feeling helpless and hopeless, right? When so much of our world is dictated to us. But I love this article because Fleming gives you some very practical tips on how you can help your students to find hope right now. And even maybe some of you can find hope yourselves, right? So she goes into great detail here, but she talks about some of my favorites. Tips she gives you is don't sweep it under the rug. Don't minimize, like, it's no big deal. Because you know what, guys? It is a big deal. You know, yes, this is just one moment in time, but it's a historical moment in time that we're going through. And students and teachers should recognize that. She talks about asking the right questions, right? Ask your students the right questions. I think how we frame things is so key, right? The way you ask something, you know, it really determines how your students will react. She talks about how connecting students to students can be powerful. And then also that right now, this is a cool way to think about this one. And it goes back to what I've been talking about in that book I'm reading right now, The Obstacles Away by Ryan Holiday. Right now, we are living in an extremely, extremely challenging time, but it's also an opportunity for impact. It's important to remember that we are right now given a great opportunity to help our students find hope in this hopeless time, that we can impact their future. So check out Nora Fleming's article, In Schools, Finding Hope at a Hopeless Time. I had a parent once tell me, gosh, this has to be close to 13, 14 years ago now. She told me, you're a pretty good teacher, but you'll be even better when you have kids of your own one day. And at first I was offended because I was too immature and naive to understand what she meant. And then I had my own kids and I totally got it. I understood, right? So it helps me to remember that when I'm teaching, right, I'm dealing with not just students, but somebody's child. Every student we interact with is somebody's kid. They're somebody's world. And while we might see them as kind of the kid who takes a lot of our time and energy, that's somebody's daughter or son or brother. So my podcast recommendation is all about helping us to be better teachers in how we treat our kids. And it's a podcast where I recommended specific episodes, but I feel like now I need to tell you to just listen to the whole darn thing. And it's the Daily Dad Podcast. And I know some of you might be turned off by the title because you're not a dad. You're not a guy, but it's about being the best parent you can be, the best teacher you can be, the best coach you can be, anything that where you're dealing with children. And the quote from their website, I love it, is inspired by the great wisdom and lessons from history, science, literature, and ordinary parents. We're going to give you real advice and insight for being a great dad. Whether you're still expecting, knee deep in the terrible twos, grinding through the teenage years, or a successful grandparent, we have something you can read every day that can make you better every day. So check out the Daily Dad Podcast. Each podcast is about 3 minutes in length, and it'll just give you gentle reminders on how you can better deal with your kids and your students. And last but certainly not least, my video recommendation for this week comes from Jake Thompson, the Compete Every Day crew, and it's How to Be a Difference Maker at Work. You know, what more as a teacher can we ask for than to be a difference maker? And this video is about a 4-minute video that gives you tips, things you can do to help be a difference maker. And I love it. And my favorite line from this, and this is one that I kind of pulled apart some of it, but don't be afraid to do the little things. It's not beneath you. Be the servant leader that invests in others. If you want to be indispensable, worry about how many people you can help succeed. So check out Jake Thompson's video, How to Be a Difference Maker at Work, from Compete Every Day. So that's it for this week. Thank you for tuning in again and listening to my 6 tips and tricks from the TOSA. As always, if you have any recommendations, anything you think I should check out, please feel free to send me an email, mbrilla@ojrsd.net. Reach me at Twitter, @Mr_Brilla, or just come talk to me. Good luck. Have a great week, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the episode. And until next time, remember, don't be afraid. Try something new.